tonight. James becomes an old black man. Mike murders hippies. And John bites his way into the show.
Good evening. This is James from TravelPunk.com.
It's the middle of the morning, and this is Couch Potato Mike.
That is true. It is the... Well, I've been awake for several hours, so it's kind of my evening, and I'll be going to sleep after we record this.
And I've been awake for several minutes.
Yes. And Mike has not even had coffee.
I don't have coffee. I'm allergic to coffee, as it turns out.
It's weird. I don't...
I can't even have one cup of coffee, any coffee, and I get dizzy.
Hmm.
I get lightheaded. I stand up and I just go, and if I'm not careful, I'll fall over.
Yeah. You've had that problem a lot recently. I mean, you did, and then you didn't, and then you did.
It's because I stopped. Okay, and it always coincides with my coffee consumption.
Yeah.
I figured out that the coffee is the one common denominator in it. Anytime I have coffee, I get lightheaded.
I have a few experiments to try. Try drinking a cup of coffee on the next cheat day you have. Not first thing, but after you've eaten carbs. Because the lightheadedness, one of the reasons it can be caused is low carbohydrate consumption, which we both do fairly regularly throughout the week. Or lack of salt. So not enough sodium in the diet. And if you eat a low-carb diet, your body excretes more salt than it would otherwise.
Uh-huh.
And you don't. So you need more salt, and you usually eat less salt because a lot of the stuff you eat doesn't have as much salt.
No, that won't jive because when I first started getting lightheaded, it was I was not even on the diet, so I was eating carbs left and right.
Really? Because I thought when you had
no, see it what see that was the thing. But before I was on the diet, I was getting lightheaded, and then I got off the diet. Then I got on the diet, and I stopped drinking my coffee because I didn't think I could have my creamer. And then all the lightheaded stuff went away. Then when I realized that the creamer that I was using had zero carbs to it, I started drinking coffee again, and I started getting lightheaded.
Hmm.
I've even tried coffee black, which I don't even like, but that'll make me lightheaded. It's the coffee. And it's regardless of what my diet is.
Hmm.
Trust me, I'm not making this decision arbitrarily. It's literally the only thing I could figure out. When I drink coffee, I get lightheaded.
Yeah.
When I don't drink coffee, I don't get lightheaded.
Interesting.
Yeah. That's one way to put it.
Yeah. I don't know. I always see anything as like there has to be a solution to the problem besides like the obvious. Like instead of like, oh, I just can't drink coffee, my mind works where how can you drink a coffee? Like what variables will differentiate it so that you are then allowed to drink coffee instead of, like an impasse?
It ain't that important to me.
Well, just the way my mind works. I just...
See, and I don't know
if it's... I have to constantly solve problems.
I don't know if it's the coffee specifically or if it's, just the caffeine part.
Well, that's easy to isolate. If you were to take caffeine pills, see if you get lightheaded. Or if it's a chemical compound in coffee, i.e. like, you know, some additives or whatnot. Interesting. So that was some good banter there. So me and Mike, the quality of our voices may be a bit off this week. We've both been under the weather, which is why we're doing this timely episode on home remedies for being under the weather.
Yeah, a day late, by the way.
A day late because my voice yesterday was so ragged and rough that it would have sounded like I was an old black man doing this show. It would have been like
Survival Punk Podcast, special guest host Lou Rawls.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, baby.
Yeah, it
or
was
Barry White or one of the motherfuckers.
Yeah, or Luke Cage if you watch that show, which Luke Cage doesn't even have that deep of a voice, but mine was I could have busted out my my banjo yesterday and started singing the blues.
Can't get enough of your love, baby.
Yeah, it was terrible. So we decided to postpone the podcast to today, this morning, to give my voice a little bit extra time to recuperate. And more or less, it's good enough to do the podcast with. So,
yep.
And if it starts hurting, I'll just make Mike talk more than usual, which is always an easy thing to accomplish.
Yeah, good luck on that. Like I said, I just woke up.
Yeah. Inject you with caffeine. So what do we have coming up today?
Coming up today, we're going to be talking about some home cold remedies, home cold remedies. We're going to be talking about what you can do to light up your world when it's gone dark. We're talking about surviving at your workplace. And we're going to be reviewing the Olight Valkyrie. But before we get into any of that, it is time, and you won't be able to believe that you're about to hear this, it is time for a word from our sponsor.
Yeah, it's been a while since we've had a sponsor, and that was mostly because I quit going after sponsors to focus on the quality of the show, and I think I would say that the quality of the show has improved, and Mike would agree, and so would yous guys.
Yous guys!
That the content and the quality of the show is much better now. And with that much better quality, I have had a sponsor knocking on my door, and I like their product well enough to allow them into the show, at least temporarily. We're going to do a trial run of them to see how it goes. And you know that we've liked the product because we just, last week we did a whole episode playing Conflicted the Card Game. In the past we have played Conflicted the Card Game. So it's a product that we've had used and enjoyed over the years.
Conflicted the Card Game. It is a fun little game about what would you do in a post-apocalyptic world. There are many different decks to choose from, like the one that we just got, which is all about the financial collapse. Plus, they've started making them into regular decks of cards, where if you don't feel like surviving in the apocalypse, you can just play Gin Rummy.
Yeah, which I definitely like, and the new deck that I got is in a nice card box and not a plastic jewel case that doesn't lock closed and is sort of like bane of my existence. But I thoroughly like in Conflicted Card Game. You can listen to our episode, I believe it's 127. I'll have a link in the show notes at sorrelpunk.com.
Plus, it's a small game thing. It's compact, can easily fit into any pocket or bug out bag.
That is true. So check out Conflicted the Card Game. There, go to sorrelpunk.com, click the banner. There is a banner now that I threw up over there, so you can go to the website and find the product and enjoy it.
Conflicted the Card Game, a great way to survive your boredom.
That is true. So, cold remedies. This is timely because I, Mike, you know, I don't get sick often. Like, it's fairly rare that I get sick, and especially like more than like, oh, I felt a little junky today, but I'm good the next day. And this has kind of been like struggling on for about a week.
I know, you're usually a relatively healthy guy, and you know, unless you jump out of a tree and break your fucking spine.
Right. Yeah. Healthy, but not so much unaccident prone. I'm very accident prone.
Oh God, yeah.
So yeah, I've been pulling out some of my old tips and tricks, what I can use, because there's a couple tricks that I have up my sleeve that I am not allowed to use anymore. I will still cover them for you guys that can use them, but I had to seek alternative methods.
You mean like the hot toddy?
Yes, and that'll be first up. So years ago, I wrote an article.
I just figured it had to have something with Boozahol in it.
Exactly. It was one of the most effective, long-lasting cold remedies, cough remedies that I know of. And it's one of the reasons, it's one of the things that brings me the most traffic, SorrelPunk.com. If you go search pretty much any variant of using moonshine to cure a cough, the first result is Survival Punk. So, yeah, I'm famous for booze.
That's so ironic because we actually started doing this show after your sobriety.
Yes, we did.
You have never been drunk since you made the show.
Nope. But if you were to use this recipe only only as a remedy for cough and not as a, you know, like you got them old drunkards that are like, I got to go get my medicine from the liquor store. And really they're just getting drunk. They're just getting shit faced.
They're just getting so drunk they forget they feel like crap.
Right. So this is one shot of moonshine, the juice of one lemon.
Uh-huh.
Two tablespoons of honey. Local honey would be your best option.
Yes.
And I think that's it. Lemon, honey, moonshine. Yeah. Now, I like to warm them up.
What if you don't like moonshine? Can you substitute out other alcohols?
You could. You would want the sort of the purest grain, like some of the brandies. Like you want like the high alcohol content. So, yeah. I mean, you could swap it out for vodka or Everclear, but at that point, you might as well just go for moonshine, which you can get in most every liquor store I've looked at recently carries a brand of moonshine. So. Yeah,
it's so interesting. It used to be the illegal drink of choice.
Yeah, and you know, if you can find locally sourced moonshine, that would probably be your best bet. I'm not advocating you break the law, though. I'm just saying it's probably gonna be your best choice here.
Here's a question, though: is it legal to make moonshine yourself if you're not selling it? If you're just keeping it for your own consumption?
No. Unlike home brewing beer, when you distill liquor, when you distill alcohol into being a hard liquor, the distillation process is illegal federally. At this moment, people are working on changing that because it's a little bunk. Like,
what with, the fuck?
Yeah, with brewing of beer, you're allowed to brew 200 gallons per year for personal consumption, not selling. Which, 200 gallons per year, that's, you know, even my alcoholic ass back in the day would have a hard time drinking 200 gallons.
No, you
probably
wouldn't. No, you wouldn't. You could go through a gallon a day.
I actually have drank a gallon at a time.
Yeah, so you could over three.
But that wasn't every day, though. That was a once a week thing. So that'd be 52 gallons. So that would not be 200 gallons.
Yeah, but I honestly think that you could have like gotten 400 gallons a year if you'd really set your mind to it, which back when you were an alcoholic, you wanted to drink all the booze.
Pretty much.
Not just the booze that you had, all the booze that existed.
Yeah, Mike, real quick, quote Hunter S. Thompson for me.
Once you get locked into a serious drug collection, the tendency is to push it as far as you can.
Yes, and so that was it. But if you are using this simply for a cough medicine, it's not that bad, actually.
Juice of one lemon, two tablespoons of honey, and how much moonshine?
One shot. And then you gently heat it on the stove or so, because honey doesn't really – okay, so the alcohol, the moonshine being as, you know, as powerful a spirit as it is, will dissolve the honey fairly well, but I feel that you get a better – mixing of the ingredients by just sort of gently heating them, and then it just tastes better hot. Like when it's hot and it goes down your throat, it's so magical.
Well, what if you heat the booze and the lemon first, and then add the honey after you take it off the stove? Honey dissolves relatively quickly in hot liquids.
It does. I like to mix all the ingredients together, and then to be honest, I usually sometimes just put them in a glass Pyrex measuring cup and then microwave them, you know, at 30-second intervals, stirring in between. And then that did it. And then, you know, you take a shot. So this generally this would be a batch. So you would not take the entire thing all at once.
Right.
You take like a tablespoon or a shot depending on your mood. So even with that, you're not going to get drunk off this cough mess. That's what I'm saying. Like even if you're an alcoholic, really not the worst thing you can do.
I have gotten tipsy off a toddy before.
Well, yeah, you can. Like, if you follow Alton Brown's thing like he did last night, that's – you basically are trying to get drunk.
Oh, my God. I love that episode. It's the Good Eats episode all about punch.
Which you can find on Netflix.
Yes, yes, you definitely can. And this isn't like, your high school, homecoming dance punch. I mean, this punch is like damn near all alcohol.
Yeah. So check that out. It will maybe not cure the cough, but you might not remember you have a cough.
Yeah, some people like to use rum.
For hot toddies?
Yeah.
I like rum too much to use that in a hot toddy, which I won't use. So,
well, you can't use any of them.
Yeah, I use NyQuil now, which does have alcohol, but I'm not drinking it. So, I mean, I take the one cup before going to bed, like the not one cup. I don't make a cup. The little measuring. swig the bottle, whatever.
The little plastic shot glass that comes with it.
Yes, yes.
You call it whatever the hell you want. That's a shot glass.
Yeah, the little shot glass that comes with it. So, that's what I use, and it does have alcohol in it, but no, I'm not getting drunk, so I don't even see an issue with it.
No.
But I probably will not be making my own, moonshine recipe like I told you guys, because I don't want to keep moonshine in my house. Yeah, so.
Some temptations are better left untouched.
Yeah, exactly. So to move along to a non-alcoholic one that I can still do, and that is free and easy, pine needle tea, which here on Mike's land, we need a name for this place. We need a cool name for the homestead, the property.
Yeah.
Yeah, not like Mike Land or anything creepy and weird Michael Jackson-y, like something cool.
Couch potato holler.
Yeah. Oh, so off topic real quick. And I showed Matt French, and Matt French is like, so Matt French knows what you're getting for Christmas right now.
Oh, you son of a bitch.
And he's like, Mike's going to fucking love that. So I'm going to sneak over and show your wife so she can be like, Mike's going to fucking love that.
Oh, you fuckers.
Yeah. So,
it's become a contest between me and James. We always try to get each other what we call the one gift to rule them all.
Yes. While generally still being like, cost conscious.
Yes. And now I still think I've gotten you, at least as far as you're concerned, one gift to rule them all this year. I happen to know for a fact that it is something that you would love.
I'm excited. But yeah, pine needles. So we're surrounded by pine trees. I can walk out the door and get enough pine needles to make pine needle tea for my entire life and to serve a ship of like sailors so they don't get scurvy.
Yeah. See, if you don't know, which if you've been listening to the show, you should know. But if you don't know, because every episode could be someone's first episode, like Stan Lee says, every comic could be someone's first comic. Pine needles are an excellent, excellent source of vitamin C.
25 times more than a lemon, if memory serves correct.
Which is the ironic thing about, what was it, Jamestown Colony?
That they died of, like, scurvy?
Yes, yeah. Because they didn't have any citrus. And they're completely surrounded by pine trees, yeah. Having no idea of the vitamin C content of the pine tree,
yeah.
Of the pine needles.
Which is terrible on their part. But, you know, they didn't know, so. Well, hell, up until relatively recently in human history, no one really knew why you would get sick from drinking pond water, but not from beer. And they're like, beer is magical and healthy for you. Well, we just have some nutrients and other stuff, but it's the boiling process. Basically, to make beer, you have to boil water, thus killing the contaminants,
yeah,
in the water to make it safe to drink. So, they didn't realize it. If you just boiled the water and then drank it, you would still be better off.
Yeah, you're killing all them little bacterium in there.
Yes. So yeah, pine needle tea.
Now, what's the best way to make pine needle tea? Because I'm sure you've made it before.
I have. I've made it several times. I generally will get a palmful of, you know, pine needles. We don't need to measure these out. Just sort of reach up and grab a hand.
Now, the fresh green ones, not like the brown ones.
No, you want them fresh. Like, grab them off the tree. The tree won't mind. It's going to drop them eventually anyway. Just sort of grab like a fistful, yank them down. I think I've read somewhere someone's like, oh, about 25 per blah, 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 blah. Just grab a handful. I like to cut them in halves or fourths. So just sort of like not dice them up really, but just sort of like give them a chop, whatever.
That does help with the steeping process.
Exactly.
I have seen like a Les Stroud just use them whole.
Right.
Which you can do, but it's better to help with the steeping process by giving the ends more openings.
Right. And you get the extract a bit more of the essential oils and the vitamin C that you want. So why not just chop them? I mean, it's no big. So after that, or you could try mashing them, but just chop them is easier.
Chopping's definitely going to be easier, yeah, than I mean, they're tiny.
You don't exactly want boiling water for this. You want hot, so like 180-ish. So if you boil water and then walk off and let it cool down for I don't know, a minute or so, or if you have a thermometer, if you're really fancy smancy, or an electric kettle, you could check the temperature. But I just sort of boil and then wait a minute and then pour the not boiling water, the hot water, over my pine needles in a cup. Let them steep for about 5 to 6 minutes and then strain it off. So if you have a French press, you can use that. If you have just sort of like a strainer, like a mesh strainer, you can pour it through that. Coffee filters tend to be a bit too filterous.
If you have a tea infuser, I would recommend using one of those.
A tea infuser will work. The pine needles would have to be the size, you know, fit in there.
You'd have
to dice them a bit more finer.
Exactly.
Which is fine. I have one. I've used it for other things like, dandelion roots roasted and whatnot. But yeah, so that, I just prefer to, you know, if you just have like, a fairly fine mesh strainer, just pour it through that. And then you keep pretty much all the essential oils and stuff intact without filtering them out. Use, a sweetener of your choice, local honey, stevia, a little bit of sugar if you want to use that, but sugar has a blunting impact on your immune system, thus sort of defeating the purpose of this. So when I'm sick, I generally try to avoid sugar. You can drink it. Go ahead.
I was going to say honey is usually the cold's favorite sweetener.
Right. Yeah. I mean, so either go with like a good, not artificial, non-caloric sweetener or honey. I have drank it plain. It does not taste like pine salt, because I was kind of worried. I'm like, this is going to taste like hot pine sauce. Be disgusting. It has a pine flavor. It does. But it tends to be soothing. Sort of like a lozenge, like a Ricola or something. Like it has that sort of herbally, you know, you feel it like soaking into your like, not your lungs, because then you'd, you know, fill up your lungs and die. Sometimes like when you're sick and you're missing nutrients and you consume them, you kind of feel them soak into you. That's what you get with this. And you can feel like the nourishing vitamin C or other natural things in the pine needles soaking into you, making you feel better. Which I kind of think, is maybe amplified more than just the base elements, as in, if you just consume like, you know, a pure ascorbic acid, which is vitamin C in a powder form in like a cup of tea compared to, you know, pine needle tea, I think you get a better benefit from the whole natural pine needle tea than you would vitamin C. Not that I don't think you should also do vitamin C. And we will.
Before we move on, I have to say this because it just popped into my head. It has nothing to do with cold remedies. I'm putting a contest out there for all of our listeners.
Nice.
And it's something you just brought up. Name Mike's Land. I want everybody to send in their ideas of what would be a great name for Mike's Land.
Maybe we'll even get a sign. Like, we'll make a sign and, like, hang it up somewhere.
Yeah. Get some publicity shots of us.
Email me, james@survivalpunk.com, with those ideas. And
some bastard's going to send in Booyah Ranch or something like that.
You know what?
Do not write that in.
We'll give you a shout out. And if you win, so when you email me, james@survivalpunk.com, with your idea suggestion, throw in your address, your shipping details. And if you are chosen, not only will you get a shout out, I will send you one of the brand new Survival Punk stickers.
How awesome is that?
I know. So next up on the list, because I just realized, I'm like, I don't know if this could be enough to make a whole episode, Mike. And Mike's like, oh, James, you might be right. We have to add some extra stuff on here. We'll see what goes on. Yeah. We're already.
I have never sounded like that in my damn life.
We're like at 23 minutes already. And we're not even halfway through the list. We've done two things so far.
Vitamin C mega dose.
Vitamin C mega dose. Yes. A lot of people suggest, like, if you get sick, you take vitamin C. And the dosage recommendations that you get tend to be a little on the skimpy side. Whereas they're like, you know, take a vitamin C pill here or there. You know, like 500 milligrams, you know, 300 milligrams or something like that. When I first started getting sick, and to this point, I started taking vitamin C in the gram dosage. So not in the milligrams. I think I think I was taking maybe 20 grams one day. Split, you know, like 10 grams here, 10 grams, like 10 grams, going to sleep, 10 grams waking up. And then maybe I'll throw in a few more grams throughout the day. So yeah, mega dosing. And then some people even suggest higher amounts. So, and the thing is though, like the side effect of consuming too much vitamin C, like the what you get from vitamin C poisoning
is the shits.
Is the shits. Whoop-dee-doo. Yeah. I mean, yeah. And if you do this at work, then you basically end up getting paid to shit while at work. So, booyah.
If the boss makes a dollar while you make a dime, I say it's time to poop on company time.
Yeah. So, I don't really like, you know, it's like, oh, the side effect could be death or exploding bowel syndrome. No, the side effect is, you're going to poop a few times. Yeah. I'm good with that. Yeah. Not being sick or feeling better. Like, I've noticed it. The mega dosing, you definitely like feel like an immediate uptick in your not being sick.
Damn it, I wish I had some orange juice.
Yeah, I consumed a glass yesterday. I kind of wish I had a bit more Woofle House.
You can never have enough liquid sunshine.
Yeah. Yeah. I
read that from a college paper.
Yeah. That was a bad college paper, but I have written good college papers when I was in college.
I love that.
I just didn't give a shit.
Big red F on the paper. This is a college paper, James.
Yeah. It was dumb. And if I don't feel like doing something, that I'm just not going to do it.
Comparing and contrasting, and you picked apples and oranges.
Yep. I'm going to be a dick about it. So yeah. Buy a bottle of decent quality vitamin C and or absorbic acid. With that, it's a bit easier to take because it's in pure powder form and there's no cellulose or any junk added to it. And you can just mix it in like water and kick it back, and it, you know, absorbic acid tends to be tangy. So you get that sort of, bitter sort of souriness that is good. And you can use it for some cooking projects too, to add some, sort of tanginess to foods. Like, my knockoff nacho cheese that has no cheese in it. Yeah, you can use vitamin C in that to make it tangy. It's made from cashew butter and some, water and vinegar and seasonings. And if you have some ascorbic acid, throw that in there to make it sort of tangy and spicy. And it tastes like nacho cheese. It's mind blowing. You're like, this is nacho cheese. And I'm like, no, that's like seasoned cashew butter. Yeah.
Cheese with no dairy in it.
Yeah, and no soy. That pissed me off about that Awesome Brown episode last night. But yeah, vitamin C mega dosing, that's another thing. And moving on, because I'm long-winded and I feel my voice starting to hurt, you're going to need the D. A lot of the colds you tend to get, the sicknesses come in the wintertime. And I know, unless you live in like the Philippines, like Mike's dad, then the winter brings gray.
They don't have a winter there.
Yeah. The winter, like here at least, and most of North America, it's like this Lewis Black joke I remember. He's like, every day is more gray. I can't do Lewis Black because then my throat will just like be like, fuck you, James, I'm out of here. Every day is more gray. And like, I'm looking out my window and it's gray. And yesterday was gray. And tomorrow will probably be grayer. So you don't really get any sun. You don't get any vitamin D. I think you should probably, like, it's pretty much like a survey was like, every single American doesn't have enough vitamin D. And in the winter, that problem will be exacerbated. Unless you're a pro surfer in Florida. Or not Florida, Hawaii. Or California. You probably do not get enough vitamin D, and you probably should be supplementing, and you should definitely be supplementing in the winter when it's gray. So that will help tremendous to prevent and to knock out the seasonal crud. Bone broth. Bone broth, that's, our ancestors knew this. Our primitive Victorian era, all the way back through mankind.
It's soaking the bones off the animal you've already eaten to get all the fucking good juices and marrows and stuff out of.
That is right, Kevin Smith. That is exactly what you do.
The fuck?
You sounded like Kevin Smith.
I did not.
That was your Kevin Smith's podcast. Listen to this super sexy swinging podcast today, guys.
That's all I can, Smith. Oh, yeah. Listen to the bone broth. It'll tickle your ear, pussy.
Yes, and it will nourish you and definitely help you get over the crud. So my bone broth probably should not be consuming. Should avoid junky bone broth. If you can get organic, high quality, and or make your own, that would be the best. If you say you're gonna just boil some bouillon cubes full of toxic gick, probably won't get all the benefits. Might get some, but you'd be better off. Like, even Walmart now is starting to carry some organic bone broth labeled bone broth. Amazon has a grass-fed beef bone broth for $12 to $15 with Prime, so free shipping next day. You can check your local butcher shops. I know in Nashville we have a few.
I was wondering if you were going to get around to that.
Yeah, Nashville has a high-quality butcher with, they have organic grass-fed cow beef broth. In the gelatinized form that you can use to cook with.
And butcher shops always will have the bones.
Yeah, you can, I haven't even price checked them, but I'm sure their bones are affordable to buy. I'm sure they're like, oh, I just want to buy a bag of bones to make beef broth with. These hippie shops probably are like, oh, I got a bag right here for you for $4 or whatever. A
hippie shop wouldn't have bones.
Well, these are hippies in this Porter
Road
butcher
shop.
Meat
is murder, man.
No, these are meat hippies. Bone broth is another thing in your arsenal to use to keep from getting sick or to get over the crud faster.
Crud is murder, man.
Crud is yummy. The last one is one that I just found out about, but it's one that I have done and not really even realized the benefits of it. So making your own hot chocolate using cocoa powder or cacao is a good suppressant for coughs.
Cacao!
There was a study done. So chocolate has a compound in it called theobromine.
Chocolate is murder, man.
Chocolate is delicious. And then I'm sure a lot of women are going to use this. So they're going to cite this episode and be like, James said at blah, blah, blah minute mark of the podcast that chocolate has theobromine.
Oh, he's giving us an excuse to make chocolate.
Yes. And
pudding.
So the theobromine, they tested hot chocolate and the theobromine in it against codeine.
I went to school with a black guy named Theobromine.
I'm sure you did. So they tested against codeine, which is a popular cough medicine that, the people are like, oh, I have a bad cough. I need the stuff with codeine in it, which is hard to get. Theobromine was sometimes better, some percentage better than the codeine, 20% or more. So, and you don't need a prescription to get, hot chocolate. So make some hot chocolate once again. If you can get locally sourced honey, that would be a better thing to put in there than
just wait.
Than crappy sugar.
It'll be added to the controlled substance list.
Yes. You must not have a license to consume theobromine.
No, actually, believe it or not, because I work in a pharmacy, I know this, more fucking medicines that are currently just normal prescription are getting added to the fucking controlled substance list. Gabapentin, which has never been a controlled substance, is now becoming a controlled substance.
Is it it has GABA in it? It's a GABA brain receptor?
Yo, GABA, GABA?
No, because GABA is a neuron in the brain that basically – so that GABA is what beer makes you relax. So people can abuse GABA to have sort of alcoholic-like symptoms, relaxation and whatnot.
Yeah. Testosterone did not used to be a control. Now it is because testosterone can be used illegally to make steroids.
Fuck government. Fuck you.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's what I have on things you can do to try to get over the crud or prevent the crud. If you have suggestions, please let us know in the comments because I need your suggestions. I mean, really. No, really. I need your suggestions. And we can move, 33 minutes. That was a good topic there.
So moving on, we actually have two listener questions this week, and I love the listener question segment.
Which we will play, and you can hear them, and we will read them ourselves.
Oh, we're going to play both of them?
We have enough time. I think we can cover them both.
Okay.
So We're going to play the first one right now.
Hey guys, this is Harlan Meeks. Feel free to use my last name. I'm all over the internet anyway. What I was wondering is we had, up here in northeast Indiana, we had a bad storm come through with 70-mile-an-hour winds last week. And we had power outages to thousands of people. And I was wondering what you do for lighting in power outages. And that's my question. Thank you. Bye.
All right. You guys just heard from Harlan Meeks, and he has a podcast, the Low Wattage Power Podcast, I believe. I'll throw him a link in the show notes so you can find it.
Harlan Meeks, I think that's the basketball player, the basketball team that Theo Bromine used to play on.
Oh, yeah? So
he was a bad motherfucker.
Basically, he just said he lives in northeast Indiana, and they had a bad storm. You know all this because you just heard it, and we didn't. So what do we use for lighting to see in power outages?
Oh.
So this is a multifaceted answer.
I've got some experience in power outages.
You want to go first?
Yeah, living out here in the fucking sticks, we've had blackout after blackout. And it takes fucking forever for them to get out here and actually find where the fucking power lines are fucked up at. So here are my tips for fucking lighting sources in a blackout. First off, if you're near a Dollar Tree or any everything's a dollar store, you're going to want to spend some fucking time in their electronics aisle because they have all sorts of tiny little $1 LED flashlights, all sorts of tiny little $1 fucking tea lights, usually three to a pack or something like that for a buck. And they're a great source of candles, scented or otherwise. They also will sell multi-packs of cheap lighters and multi-packs of cheap batteries, all of which are very compact, can easily be stored in any junk drawer. And if you're from the South, you have a fucking junk drawer. Everybody has a fucking... Do you have a junk drawer? I mean, I know you're in a tiny house.
I have a...
Actually,
I do kind of have a junk drawer somewhere, yeah.
Actually, you kind of live in your junk drawer, but that's beside the point. No, but yeah, always surround the fucking place with stuff... Yeah, with candles and fucking flashlights. That's just common sense.
Exactly. I definitely concur with all that. There's
you have some more next level methods.
Some next level, yeah. Although there's no reason not to go stock up. Like Walmart and I think Dollar Tree both have like giant packs of like cheap flashlights that you can get for a few bucks.
Yeah.
There's no reason. Yeah, they're junky, but they come in like 10 packs. Buy 10 of them. You have 10 flashlights. And if 9 of them break, you still have one.
And now everything's fucking LED, so they're brighter than hell.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So go out and buy them. They're cheap. Put them everywhere. That way you have one everywhere.
Yep.
We've talked about before having a blackout kit. So have like a milk crate or a just cardboard box with like flashlights and candles and lighters and throwing some like conflicted the card game or some like Monopoly boards or whatever. Just
and you're going to want to keep this out of the way but accessible at a moment's notice.
Yeah, so
you're not going to want to pile a bunch of shit on top of this damn thing.
No.
And be fumbling around in the fucking dark to get to your flashlights.
And make sure your whole family knows where it's at. Like kids, if the power goes out, the blackout kit's in here. Wife, the blackout kit's in here. Girlfriend, the blackout kit's in here. Jordan the cat, the blackout kit's in here. You go get it.
Now, there was a flashlight that my parents used to have. It was interesting. It was a rechargeable plug into the wall flashlight. Mm-hmm. And as soon as you would take it out of the wall, it would turn on.
Yes.
And basically it was designed where you just keep it plugged into the wall at all times. If the power went out, the power stopped going to it, it automatically cut on.
Yes.
And you could find it instantly. And I love those things.
You can get those at pretty much every store now. I think a lot of them, at least at like Walmart and Home Depot and Lowe's, tend to be labeled like, I think, a Red Cross brand, mm-hmm. like an emergency light. They're basically emergency night lights. Like you plug them into your outlets, they charge, they're off. If the power goes out, they come on, and like your hallways and your wherever yeah. you have them plugged in at now has illumination. So I would recommend get to that.
Yeah, I would recommend getting several of those, putting them each in a, you know, putting one in each room that where you have a spare outlet just to plug something like that. And it's kind of like emergency backup lights. As soon as the power goes off, they come on. So you know where the hell everything is.
Exactly. I definitely am a big fan of those. So headlamps, I'm a big fan of headlamps. You should get some. And I especially like having headlamps and then having the batteries for them be something you have a battery charger for. Keep them in the battery charger. So have backup batteries. So keep some in there so you can use them. And then have rechargeables because then it's easier to charge them. And then you – so have some cheap batteries like Mike said and then have some good rechargeables. And then for like super emergencies when you want to rely on the power, I'm a big fan of Energizer's lithium batteries. They are pretty expensive, but they have a shit ton of power and they will last and you'll be good. So good headlamps, good flashlights. Next level, I have a battery backup system. So if the power goes out, I can just start hooking up my lights, my laptop. And then it, so did you realize that I believe CFLs are completely off the market now? CFLs. You cannot buy the swirly bulbs.
Oh, really?
Gone. You can't find them. They're, I guess the mercury finally got banned by the government. So now you either have to go the old school fluorescent or the new LEDs, which consume basically no power.
Yeah, those fucking LEDs are awesome. They might be a little bit more expensive, but they'll last a hell of a lot longer and use like a fraction of the power.
Right.
Pays for itself.
So there's that. And, like in my kitchen, the lights in my kitchen are, LED strip lights. So they'll run off next to no power. My light in the living room is an LED light. So that'll run, my battery bank will run that ever. I mean, it'll run it forever.
Now we used to have one of these emergency hand crank flashlights.
Mm-hmm.
I like and don't like those. Yeah. I mean, it's great. I mean, you don't have to plug it in or anything. You just have to crank it, but the light never lasts for too long. So you end up spending most of your damn time in the dark cranking your fucking flashlight.
Yeah. I've got an emergency one, that's a
join the cat.
There's the kind where you shake them.
Yeah. There, and I have one that's like a squeeze. Like it's a lever. Like you squeeze it like that. It has a gyro in it. And as long as you're squeezing it, you have light. And it's not like terrible hard, but it's, I mean, you really don't want to walk around squeezing this dynamo gyro thing the whole time. It's kind of a pain in the ass.
Yeah.
So I definitely prefer batteries for my power.
Glow sticks. Now, that's something else you'll find in abundance at, like, any Dollar Tree or anything like that. Just the cheap, like, little glow sticks, like you put around your kids' wrists and stuff at Halloween time.
And they'll love them.
Oh, yeah, and they last. I mean, you just break them, and they'll last for a few hours. A
couple hours, yeah. Mm-hmm. Mike already touched on candles. There's no reason not to have a ton of candles. They're not the safest, but once you're in an area and you like, so you want to set up the board game or something, candles and oil lanterns. And I have at least one oil lantern.
We actually have several oil lamps and lanterns.
Yes. And I have oil for my lantern. So, lamp and lantern. So
you want to fill those you kind of want to have at least one good one filled at all times. You don't want to be filling this shit in the dark and setting fire to yourself.
Yeah. And you know what? In an emergency, I did this like junk trash build a few years ago where you take like an empty jar container, like you could use a bell jar or like an empty olive jar or any sort of like anything that's like that, like glass with a metal lid. You use a knife to stab a hole in the top of the lid so that when you stab in, the metal pushes downwards. So then you take a piece of cotton cloth. It can't be a synthetic material. It has to be cotton. So if you have cotton shoelaces, and most of them now are not cotton. They're plastic. You have like a cotton t-shirt or something. You can cut strips into that. You stick it through that. You stick it down through that. And then, since the metal was poked inwards, you can't pull it back out that easily. You can push it down, but you can't pull it back out because it bites into the cloth.
Mm-hmm.
Then you just fill it with your lamp oil, and then you pull it down enough so that it's just sort of barely sticking up, and then you can use pliers to pull it up more, and you have, like, a super ghetto lantern.
Yeah.
It works. I've used them. I've had Safety Sally's like, that's dangerous, and blah, blah. Go fuck yourself.
You got to be careful with any glass that's not tempered.
Yeah, it's not going to get super hot because the flame's above it, so it's not really that. And if you dropped it from like 6 feet up and it hit the floor, it could shatter. So in my apartment, I had one of these and it was sitting on the back of my toilet. I one time knocked it off the toilet onto the tile floor. Not like fake tile, like tile.
Ceramic tile.
It bounced.
Damn.
And I just picked it up and put it back up.
I would recommend a disclaimer that if you are kind of a klutzy person that has a lot of little needless accidents, just fucking get flashlights.
Yeah. That is a fun product.
Don't start fucking with your guy. Hey, you little bastard, he bit me.
Wow. So it never bites people. That's funny.
I felt teeth.
Yeah.
Little fucker.
Nice.
I was just trying to pet him and he's like,
he wants attentions.
I knew he was going to make a fucking cameo in this episode.
Yeah. Flashlights, the lanterns. I think that's covered. Oh, one more thing. So as my, porch light, actually, I have a Lucy inflatable solar lantern. So it charges, you know, whenever there's sunlight, even in the gray days we have. And, there's a B in there.
I don't care.
You spelled it wrong.
I'm writing it.
Yeah. So the Lucy solar lantern, it will, I usually get like maybe 3 to 4 hours of it after charging all day. And, it's bright. It works. You know, it's not going to last all night, but as a sort of a backup light, you know, for a few hours, you can grab it, turn it on. It works great. So I like that. And I think we've actually gone long at this point. We may not read both questions. We're at 44 minutes. Yeah. We're going to save Matt's question, I think, because we got a few more things to cover.
Yeah. Hell, you might be able to turn this one into
a whole episode by
itself.
So, Matt, your workplace survival question will be moved to next week, which will be a solo episode. And so survival thingy of the week is the Olight. I think it's the PL21 Valkyrie. It's the Olight Valkyrie. I'll have the link in the show notes. It's a weapons light. It'll go on either a rail. Or it'll go on a rail of some sort. I have mine mounted on the rails on top of my AR-15. It'll go on any rails, and like a Glock rails or 1911 rails. It has different adjustments to fit on it.
You mean it's a Glock like a Glockenspiel?
Like a Glockenspiel. It's a 450 lumens. 450 lumens. It only has one setting. You turn it on, 450 lumens.
It's 450 werewolves?
Yes. Lumens. It's great. I'm down a handgun at the moment, but I have played with it on my AR-15 very happily, bright.
You should keep your wiener away from your AR-15.
Yeah. And it's good. I like it. I've reviewed it. I will have a link to the full review in the show notes. Mike saw it. Very bright. Very nice.
I have not. Oh, you mean the light.
The light. Yes. You've seen the light. Definitely check it out if you need a weapons light. That is not like hundreds and hundreds of dollars like the Surefire lights are.
Yours was free.
Mine was free. As a disclaimer, Olight did send it to me. You can find it on Amazon with like rechargeable batteries and a battery pack and all sorts of other things for like $99.
And why did they send it to you for free? Because you were a reliable source on how to review such things.
Yes. Yes. I have one. It's neat. You should probably check it out, especially if you need one and you're looking for one. So the Olight Valkyrie. Good light. You have it all geared up? Or?
Oh, yeah. I can actually do this. It's actually been grinding into my gears for, like, how long has this thing been on the board? Like 2 months now?
Something like that.
Yeah, I've been meaning to fucking do this. I actually wrote one out. You can hear it. Ah, it's been there so damn long, the paper ripped. Ah! And now it is time for All Geared Up with Couch Potato Mike. My fellow potatoes, over the last couple of years, I have witnessed a huge uprising of people, idiots and bigots mostly, declaring how offended they are by virtually everything. I have heard many of these idiots declaring that they have a right to not be offended. In response to these simpletons, I have looked into this very matter. I have, in fact, looked at the U.S. Bill of Rights, the main source of rights here, to check to see if these morons' civil liberties have been impugned upon. I do see that we have a right to free speech, free press, peaceable assembly, and we can bear arms. We have the right to not have soldiers in our homes, nor are we to be unreasonably searched or seized. We have the right to a speedy and public trial, and the right to a jury of our peers. I have read these rights back to front and front to back. I have read the lines between the lines, behind the lines, above the lines, and in all my research, I have found no indication, none whatsoever, that we have a right to not be offended. No one has the right to not be offended, but since I have the right of free speech, I will let you know something that anyone with half a brain should have already figured out. Simply put, when you get offended, you know what happens? Nothing! The only thing that changes is your mood, and given enough time, that will change again if you want it to. Nobody's ever died of being offended. If something offends you, move on. Get over it. Stop listening to the message, because it obviously wasn't meant for a schmuck like you in the first damn place. There are billions of people on this planet, each one with their own sets of beliefs, values, and opinions. I have found that I, too, have beliefs, values, and opinions, and they are not dependent on everyone agreeing with me. And, my friends, I hope you can learn this truth as I have. I have been offered various things in this world, and I have been offended by various things in this world, and I have survived all of them. If you abolish all things that offend everyone, then we would live in a world worse than any communist state or dictatorship that has ever existed. I don't think that any of us want that. So in short, too late for that. If you are offended, shut up and keep it to yourself. Why should the rest of us pay for the fact that you're a closed-minded, pathetic, little, whiny, attention-grabbing troll? I will not conform to your sensibilities any more than you are willing to conform to mine. I am Couch Potato Mike, wishing you happy ranting, and God bless, my friends.
Oh, while you were reading, I just saw that, James May and Richard Hammond did indeed blow up Jeremy Clarkson's house.
Are you fucking serious?
They blew it to shit.
God damn. I'm going to have to find that video.
We are going to have to watch that episode. I can't wait. I should have done that yesterday instead of not watching that episode.
I know. And on that horrible disappointment, it's now time for us to end. So, for the Survival Punk Podcast, this is Couch Potato Mike.
And this is James Sigmund Burnett.
Get over that cold. Get all liquored up, bros.
Don't forget to join the Survival Punk Army and DIY to survive, you guys.
You guys!